Mr. Brittingham, we're recording.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome. I'm Sean Brittingham, President of the State Board of Education. I call the August 18th regular meeting to order. It is 5 p.m. This meeting is open to the public in person in the cabinet room of the Townsend Building in Dover, Delaware, and electronically via WebEx. State Board of Education published the public meeting notice and the meeting link on August 11th, 2022, on the state public meeting calendar site. Thank you for your patience if we run into any technology issues as we simultaneously conduct this meeting in person and electronically. As a courtesy to others and to prevent unnecessary disruption, if you are logged in via WebEx, please mute your microphone when you are not speaking. Members of the public should refrain from speaking until the time for public comment. Today's agenda contains two opportunities for public comment. The first opportunity is for comment related to the regulations on tonight's agenda. The second is reserved for the general public comment near the end of the meeting. Opportunity to sign up for public comment was available via email prior to this meeting. For those attending in person, sign-up sheets are available on the table by the door. If you did not previously sign up to provide public comment and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic in the chat box now. This will help us to begin to create a list of individuals who would like to speak. If you're only participating via phone and wish to make a verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. We ask that the members of the public utilize the chat box only to sign up for public comment or to make us aware of any technological issues. In order to maximize the effectiveness of this meeting, each board member should announce his or her name before speaking. Please remember to announce your name as you reply to others or participate in ongoing conversation. During the presentations, presenters will regularly pause and ask if there are any state board members. If any state board members have questions, please do not speak until this time. During the presentation, presenters will clearly reference which document they are reviewing. When taking a vote on an item, I will ask if there is a motion and a second. We will then conduct a roll call. As required by statute, this meeting is being recorded and a recording will be available to the public on our website within 7 business days. Next, I want to officially welcome Ms. Alexandria Sanko, who is our new administrative assistant. Welcome. We look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
And now I'm going to ask you to do the roll call, please, to see if we have a quorum.
President Brittingham.
Here.
Ms. Pfeiffer.
Here.
Dr. Lilfink. Dr. Noble.
Here.
Reverend Powell. Mr. Rushton. Ms. Stevens.
Here.
Ms. Turner.
Present.
We have four.
Thank you. I will also note that we have Secretary Mark Holliday, Deputy Attorney General Alex Corbin, and State Board Executive Director Kathleen Smith participating in today's meeting. The board's agenda was posted August 11th. Are there any changes to the agenda? If not, I will ask for a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting as presented.
Stevens, I move to approve the agenda as presented.
Mrs. Stevens made a motion. I need a second.
Pfeiffer, second.
Mrs. Pfeiffer, second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. The approval of the May 19th meeting means after doing a roll call, we don't have the necessary quorum to approve these minutes this evening. We will add these minutes for approval to next month's agenda. Approval of the July 21st meeting minutes. After roll call, we don't have the necessary quorum to approve these minutes this evening. We will add these minutes for approval to next month's agenda. Next, we will move to presentations. Teacher Academy program. We have Jenny Forcucci, Education Associate Family and Consumer Science at DD Department of Education, and Michael Shaner, State Coordinator of Educators Rising to Prevent Information on Delaware Teacher Academy. We also wish to welcome the students who participated in the Educators Rising National Conference. Are there any questions from the board as we speak? Okay. At this time, the Board of Education would like to present students with certificates of recognition for your accomplishments at the National Conference and for our congratulations.
And President Brittingham, yes. We'll go ahead and let them give the presentation first, and then we'll do the certificates after.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So,
sure.
Is there a special spot?
No, not a special spot at all. Just
so I want to look at.
Good evening, everyone. It is just an absolute honor to be here celebrating these beautiful humans. As you all know, Teacher Academy is in the business of recruiting a diversified educator workforce and growing cultural competence and proficiency so that as we generate a new generation of educators, all students entering classrooms feel honored and heard and seen. And the young people that you see here today have indeed spoken up for change and progress. So we are incredibly excited to honor these young people who attended an Educators Rising national competition at the end of June to celebrate their skill set. And I am going to hand the mic over to Mr. Michael Shaner, who has saved me on a number of occasions and is my rock and is the state advisor for Educators Rising. He's going to tell you a little bit about that weekend, and then we'll honor you with the certificates.
So good evening. Thank you for having us. I am Michael Shaner. I am our state advisor for Educators Rising. One thing is Educators Rising is a program I've been a part of since 1995 as a student. So I am a product of the program. And it shows that we continue to grow great leaders throughout our state. These students came and competed in categories such as lesson plan and delivery, public speaking, job interview. They actually created children's books and presented them. They also sat in workshops for professional development. And these are not just making bulletin boards. This is about equity, equality, diversity and inclusion, classroom management, all different things. We have a rather large turnout for our small state of top 10 finishers. This is a huge accomplishment. Considering I was explaining to a parent that Texas, their state conference has over 2,000 students that had to compete that made it to the national level, and not as many percentage wise made it as we have. So these students have worked extremely hard to make it where they are. We are proud of each of them. So these are our top 10 award finalists in their categories. And what we would like to do is have them announce their name. That's okay with you, Jen.
Yeah, okay.
We'll have them announce their name and their school, and we'll go from there.
Or you can just say
it. Hello, my name is Robin Swifton. I am now a senior at Smyrna High School, and I decided to do public speaking for my national competition.
Hi, my name is Ruby, and I'm a junior in Del Mar High School, and I decided to do Ed Rising Moment for my national competition.
My name is Layla Gilliam. I graduated from Smart High School in June, and I did the creative lecture.
My name is Madison McCready. I just graduated from Smart High School in June as well, and I completed the job interview.
Hi, I'm Madison Retzloff from Smyrna High School, and I did, I'm about to be a junior, and I did Exploring Realm Corps careers.
Hi, I'm Olivia Marzullo. I go to Sussex Central High School. I'm going to be a junior, and I did job interview.
Hi, my name is Sarah Jacobs. I go to Seaford High School, and I also competed in the job interview competition.
Hi, I'm Logan Harris. I recently graduated from Del Mar High School, and I chose to do Exploring Education Administration careers.
Hi, I'm Brianna White. I go to Laurel High School, and I do Educators Rising.
Hi, I'm Adam Ezel from Smyrna High School. I'm going into my junior year, and I did Children's Literature K-3 for my competition.
So one big thing that we focus on is student empowerment. We did take our national officer team to Washington, D.C. this year. And they advocated on mental health services for students, the special education teacher shortage, and funding appropriations. They also, our state president, Andrew from Cesar Rodney, actually sat on a panel with the Secretary of Health and Human Services for the United States, presenting on mental health. And now I'll pass it over to explain more about our student empowerment and student voice.
Can you tell why you feel so empowered with this energy in your season? So one of the things that we is really important to us is student voice. We are centering it in our programmatic revisions. We're centering it in CDE. We are centering it it should be centered in all spaces at all times, because it is the student voices that allow us to honor student needs, right? So Robin Swinton got first in the nation. And one of her teachers is here also. Jenny Willis is here, and I am just honored because the teachers are in the trenches. The teachers are doing the work. The teachers have put their hearts on the line every single day to make sure that these young people feel empowered. And so I met with Robin after she won states, and we talked a little bit about that speech, and a pretty significant redrafting went down as a result. I have not heard the final. I heard a draft, but I have not heard the final. So I'm as excited as everyone else to hear you, Robin, deliver the speech that you delivered that won first. Welcome, Robin Swinton.
That's the right here.
Maybe right over here, so perfect. Yeah.
So, as Mr. Fuji said, my state speech was much, much different than the speech that I took to nationals. I actually did not finish this speech until 2 days before going to nationals. So it was very impromptu and very easy for me to put onto the page because it was something that I felt. Going into states, I felt like I had to say what someone else wanted to hear. I felt like I had to say things that weren't necessarily true to my heart. So making this change and putting onto the page what I really felt meant a lot to me, because this, especially winning it, I was able to really come into my own, tap into my own talents and feel as though that I can change the world with my voice. So I decided to do public speaking on the topic of combating learning loss for at-risk students. After 2020, the world underwent a massive change that affected our daily lives in almost every sense. With the detrimental impact of the pandemic, the adjustments to the norms of the post-pandemic world are undeniably effective in aiding those who need them. A group of students who desperately require this help are at-risk students. According to the Glossary of Education Reform, it's a term used to describe students who are considered to have a higher probability of failing academically or dropping out of school. During the pandemic, these disparities between students began to surface more than ever before. The leading discussed factors of students falling behind tend to be lack of resources, an unproductive home learning environment, and a not proper emotional and social support through virtual learning. These inequities undoubtedly deter children from being fully successful in their educational career. But it is not the focus of this discussion, and it shall not be what everyone should talk about when discussing what deems these students at risk, but what questioning why there's even room for disparities such as these, allowing for, according to McKenzie and Company, the average loss in our middle epidemiological scenario being 7 months. But Black students may fall behind by 10.3 months, Hispanic students by 9.2 months, and lower income students by more than a year. Reading this prompt, I came to understand one of the first practices of our school system that immediately creates a separation between students, deeming certain as at risk. Placing the insinuation of failure of students as early as they start their educational career is an excellent method of forcing those students into a pre-built system of prejudice made to demonize and shame them for their backgrounds in which they have no jurisdiction over. This constant association with inadequacy only fuels a phenomenon coined as a stereotype threat by researchers Claude Steele and Joshua Arnason. Defined as the risk of confirming negative stereotypes about an individual's racial, ethnic, gender, or cultural group, after conducting research on groups of students, Black students, that show these students performed worse on standardized tests compared to their white peers when they were reminded before taking said exam that their ethnic group tends to do worse on such exams. When there is no positive representation for you or your group, how would you see yourself? How can there be an expectation for learning when the teachers, authors, heroes don't look like you?
At my own school, there are multiple works of art of white figures praising their white history. But not even a week after a mural of Angela Davis, an influential Black female political activist, was placed upon the walls, it was scrutinized and covered for removal. When you are made to relentlessly fight for your self-expression that is deemed unwanted or inappropriate, sooner or later, would you not assume the same of yourself? Would you not paint yourself as both the victim and the villain of your own story? When answering the question, what strategies should school systems put in place? We must carefully consider all the attributes that our school systems lack that create the gap between students of ethnic or diverse backgrounds and white students. Why is it that our education system has remained stagnant in its methods of offering effective opportunities for at-risk students? It is because our school systems do not practice empathy rather than sympathy. It is very simple to offer students sympathy for the situations of life they have no jurisdiction over. But it requires effort and compassion to give those same students the same possibility for success that all students should be entitled to. It takes little exertion to notice that a child is lacking resources at home and to give them a laptop. But it takes consideration and moral responsibility to give that same child the knowledge and context to understand why they are just as deserving of prosperity despite their background. Sympathy is acknowledging a child struggling and calling them at risk for failing. But empathy is researching to understand the difference between that child's experience and your own, while still comprehending that that child has a fundamental right to succeed. The very first step our administration as a collective should take is to recognize at-risk students as more than their predicted inabilities, but as their potential for triumph if they were welcomed with an undeniable sense of acceptance, individuality, and safety throughout their relationship with learning. No longer shall they be deemed as at-risk for failing, rather, at promise for becoming the future members of our society. Thank you.
I don't have words, so I'm going to...
Thank you. Well, we here at the department have our work cut out for a session. You were great, great speech and presentation, and incredibly moving. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. And congratulations to all of you. I'm going to tell you something you already know, which is we're dealing with a significant teacher shortage, educator shortage, and this pathway, this program, as you well know, works. And while we can't guarantee that everyone in the program, all of you will end up in the Delaware classroom, that is certainly our hope and what we're striving for. We need equity-centered, thoughtful educators in our classrooms. We have three here right now, one of which sits on our board. I can attest. Two state teachers of the year amongst us, and you don't earn that award without having a kind of background and approach to teaching, ethical approach to teaching, like we just heard. And so there are models and examples, not only in the room, but across the state. And hopefully all of you are experiencing or have experienced that yourselves, and that you take everything that you're learning within the program and your own personal experiences, bring that into your teaching position when you're in the classroom today, influencing and impacting kids. Just incredibly impressive. And I appreciate, you know, you being here, and again, well done. Congratulations. I think it would maybe be appropriate to see if there are any comments or questions from any of the board members, Mr. Brittingham, and then following that, perhaps we could board members go out into the hallway and get a group shot with the award winners, the students, and parents, you're welcome to take pictures, and then we can reconvene our meeting, if that's okay, Mr.
Thank you, Greg.
All right.
Thank you for the speech. Powerful, moving. You put me right in my seat now. Going to write the president's letter for the annual report. couple hours. But thank you for that. A great speech. It's one of the best I've ever
heard. Thank you.
How old?
I'm 17.
Sure.
The future's bright.
The future's bright for all of us everywhere. Can't look back. We're going to keep moving forward. For the rest of you, congratulations. Very impressive. There's two ladies from Delmore. It's good to see you. I just happen to be from Delmore. So thank you for everything you've done and what you're going to do in the future for our state. Anybody else from the board?
I would just like to congratulate you. You are the word that went through my head in listening to you was powerful. And I can't wait to see you in a Delaware classroom with your colleagues. But also my background is union, having worked for the State Education Association prior to coming on the board. I'd love to see you as an advocate in your district for public education and your colleagues and for your students. Just your voice tells me you will be awesome. And looking at the rest of you, I want you there too. As the secretary already mentioned, we need more educators. And so I hope to see every one of your faces in the coming years in a classroom here in Delaware.
I want to say congratulations and thank you to all of you. I've known Michael and Gina for over 5 years, and I'm like Gina, I get emotional. I was getting emotional during that speech. And it's my very last board meeting, and I couldn't think of a better for people to have here with me today. So you're just going to leave me my heart full, completely inspired. Thank you for leading, both of you. Thank you for doing the work. I do want to see all of you in a Delaware classroom, and don't lose the fire, passion, the drive, the voice, the strength, because we need it all. And I just want to say thank you. I'm honored to be here in your presence tonight. Truly.
Okay.